Guys, and welcome back to the Thinker Nick podcast. Today I have a guest from a different part of the world. He is our first guest from Canada. Jared has been working in entrepreneurship for nearly a decade and has worked in fields ranging from construction to tech to hospitality. Never afraid to jump into something new, Jared prides himself in being able to adapt to any situation. In 2019, Jared went through a quarter-life crisis, which led him to walking away from a business he helped grow from scratch into one that did over $2 million in revenue. Jared documented his journey with mental health and personal development in his podcast, The Journey with Jared. Jared is now running a direct-to-consumer e-commerce food business, as well as being part owner of a food store located within a farmer's market in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Jared, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that we got in touch. So, for the listeners of this podcast, usually we talk about business when my co-host is here, Nicola, and I've decided to kind of venture into something I'm really passionate about, which is the personal development space. Cool. And luckily, Jared is the perfect guest for that because one, he's an entrepreneur, so he can chat about business. But two, he's also done a bit of personal or a lot of personal development. So we're going to touch on that as well. So this podcast has got it all. So Jared, I want to know, what was your first entrepreneurial adventure?
For sure. It actually happened by accident. So I was in my second year of university here in Calgary, and just randomly at the beginning of one of my classes, some random guy walks in and he, you know, does a little spiel about like, oh, we have summer programs going on. If you're interested, write your name on this little piece of paper and we'll call you. And so I did that and kind of showed up to this interview not knowing what it was. And they started talking about like painting. And I was like, cool, you know, I could paint for a summer, you know, be outside, get a nice tan. And as they're talking more, they're like, oh no, you actually get to run your own little painting business. And so I didn't know this at the time, but there's actually a couple different programs that do that in Canada here. Yeah. So essentially what they kind of do is set you up to run your own little painting business while you're still in school over the course of the summer. And so they kind of take care of a lot of the infrastructure around you, you know, the insurance, they teach you how to do it. And then you're just kind of sent on your own to go and figure it out. And had never done anything like it. Nobody in my family really is entrepreneurs. On my mom's side, they're farmers. So like a little bit of it, but nothing like this. And so kind of jumped in and I would say hit the ground running, but fell a lot. And that was kind of what kicked it off. I ended up doing it for 4 years while still in university, got promoted in the company, and basically then taught other students how to start their own small painting businesses for the last 2 years that I was doing it. At the same time, I was handling all of the commercial jobs for the company. So that's how it started. That's kind of how I fell in love with it. And there was no turning back after that.
Epic. So my first question would be, did you have any like a prior knowledge or context of painting or anything like that?
No, none at all.
So what made you dive into like, you know, what attracted you to painting out of all businesses? I'm interested.
Yeah. I joke a lot of times. I'm like, I think I'd held a paintbrush before, but like I'd never been in my room even, you know what I mean? And what attracted me to it. I still remember in one of the interviews is I was reverse sold the program of Carl, who ended up being my district manager for that first year. He was in there and basically started to tell me how there are only, you know, 10 to 12 students in all of Calgary that would be considered for this role. And, you know, kind of like you said in my bio there, I always just love new challenges. And I've always been one to just jump in. It seemed interesting to me. I like challenging myself. And so it really didn't matter what it was, which has kind of turned into a little bit of a theme throughout my entrepreneurial career. Is it doesn't necessarily matter the detail of what it is, but I'm able to take a lot of the lessons and apply them in different areas, which is a skill that has helped me so much. And one that, you know, I talk to other people about a lot too, of, you know, whether it be, you know, running a small painting business, painting people's houses, you know, in Calgary here, or you know, when I worked for a tech startup and, you know, as we were chatting a little bit before, and I was sent to Dubai for a month for an accelerator program, trying to sell our interactive mirror. A lot of those lessons transferred over, and I'm able to take a lot of those and transfer them to different industries.
Okay. Amazing. So let's just sort of now dive into your quarter life crisis, because I guess this is where in your bio, you said that you helped grow your business to 2 million in revenue, and then you had a quarter life crisis and you walked away from that. So
for sure.
What happened? And like, let me first say what happened, and then we'll get into the key lessons that you took from that experience.
For sure. Yeah. And so essentially I went into business with one of my mentors, and we started a restaurant together, and nice. that's the business that we grew. And so literally from the ground up, I was actually in charge of construction. So once again, just kind of like figuring it out on the go of, I had to teach myself how to read construction plans as I'm managing this project and building out a $500,000 restaurant. Wow. Literally just asking one contractor the questions to know what I should ask the next contractor, because I had no idea. And so, you know, I did that. We opened the doors. I'd never worked in a restaurant before. Once again, you know, I'd joke with people. I'm like, oh, you know, I've eaten in them. But that's, again, was my extent of knowledge in the restaurant industry, and just kind of learned as I went, and, you know, kind of learned a lot of the different positions. I ran the restaurant for a couple of years before we promoted from within, and then had somebody take over. And then I was more of a support role for that. And yeah, and so the year before I left, we were on track to do $2 million in revenue. Now, I would say probably about a year before I left, I had some personal things going on, and it had gotten to the point where I knew that I couldn't handle it on my own anymore. And so I needed to look for help. And, you know, a lot of shame around that when I first started looking at it. And actually I reached out to some therapists, and I called a couple of therapists, and I found one that I thought I would like, and then started going to her and started working through a lot of the different things and unwinding a lot of those stories that I had told to myself about myself. And through that process, then started kind of opening up to some other people, which I didn't for the longest time. I kind of kept that a secret for probably the first year and a half. Joined a men's group, which essentially was almost like a group therapy type thing, with just a bunch of men where, you know, we were super vulnerable with each other. It wasn't led by, you know, a therapist or anything, but just some of the guys that had some experience in that sort of thing. Really started looking at myself and asking myself, you know, why I do the things that I do and what were my motivations. Because up until that point, what I had found professionally was that no matter what I achieved, I didn't feel any different. And so, you know, I would tell myself, oh, once I do this, then I'll be happy. And I'd get there and be like, oh, nothing's really different. I'm like, oh, okay, my goal was too small, so I need to set it higher. And then I would get there and go, oh, actually, no, nothing has changed again. And I'd fallen into that loop of just never actually being happy, never being able to appreciate anything that I had done, and never being enough for what I had accomplished. Anyways, a lot of work around that kind of led me to the realization that the environment that I was in wasn't the healthiest for me. It wasn't a good environment for me. And unfortunately, what that led to was the decision to completely step away with almost no plan for what to do later. I joke with people a lot that I essentially blew up my life at that moment. And every single cent that I had saved up to that point, I'd put into the business, you know, I'd maxed out all my credit cards. I really was going to nothing with no savings, no job, no source of income. And so, but I knew that inside I needed to make that jump and kind of hit that reset button and figure out really what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So I'm just taking notes here.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot to unpack there. Yeah. So the first thing I want to touch on is basically when you're talking about being an entrepreneur and how you go from venture to venture and you pick up these skills along the way. Yeah. So I used to be a teacher in Vietnam. Wow. A math teacher, and I've just taken the leap of basically quitting my job and moving to the UK and starting up a little business or two. So, Awesome. Aspiring entrepreneur, if you like. And one of the biggest lessons that I've learned is you just have to figure it out. There's these hurdles and these obstacles that'll come. You won't know what to do. You've got to learn it. You've got to figure it out. That's what being an entrepreneur is all about, is figuring it out and finding a way. So I completely resonate with you there. And it's something that I'm learning every day. And I'm enjoying the process, to be honest. It makes it builds resilience in you. And it builds confidence as well. And it makes you realize that anything is possible, really.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I wanted to touch on is, and it's a huge space at the moment, which is the personal development space. Well, I find anyway, like it seems to be like a craze around the world at the moment for, I don't know, maybe millennials, maybe my generation, maybe the generation Gen Zs, but I'm seeing it all over my feed. And that's obviously probably because what YouTube's feeding me, because I'm watching those videos, but it's like, it's something that I've also been going on through this journey. And just like you, it's like you achieve something and you want something, and then you get there, you want it so bad, you get there, but you're not fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And then you think to yourself, why? So then you set the bar higher, or you try different avenue, and you keep getting to these goals, and you're like, well, you know, I'm here now and I'm not that happy.
Yeah.
And until you start doing the inner work and you start like really looking in, and like some people refer to it as shadow work or childhood trauma, there's loads of different things that you can do. But until you go right back inside and figure out right at the bottom why this isn't making you happy, why are you chasing all these goals? Are you seeking validation? You know, there's all of these things that you look at. And once you start to slowly uncover those, and it's a never-ending journey, and I know this because I'm obviously working on myself every day, and I'm sure you know that there's a never-ending. The more that you know, it's like the more that you need to know, like there's more that comes up. And then coupled with that is environment, just what you were saying about environment. Environment is so important, and it has a massive impact on your mental health, your physical health, who you hang out with, the actions, your habits, basically, you know, the way you live your life. So with that respect, I think once you change your environment, then you start to realize all of these things about yourself, which you didn't realize before. And when you surround yourself with positive people, you see what they're doing and you feed off that. And that adds to the professional development within yourself. What do you think about that?
Yeah, for sure. I resonate with a ton of things that you said there. And yes, talking about shadow work and childhood trauma, you know, inner child work, that's really a lot of the type of work that I did. And I always laugh at myself where I think it was in my first session with my therapist. She went, you know, tell me about your childhood. I went, no, we don't have to talk about that. You know, I've made my peace with that. Like, yeah, I got bullied a little bit. And, you know, like, sometimes there are arguments in my house, but there's nothing that happened. And it took an entire year before we finally circled back. And I, you know, always talk about like peeling off layers, right? Of like, we'd peel off a layer and like, no, this is the real problem. And we'd work through that. I'm like, oh, actually, no, this is the real problem. We'd work through that. Like, this is, and we kept going down, keep going down until we really found some of the root causes of those things. And yeah, you know, like you were touching on there is, a lot of times where that lack of fulfillment comes from is by doing things for the wrong reasons, right? And so I can talk for myself and, you know, like I was saying earlier, where I never felt fulfilled when I was achieving these things. And what I realized is those things weren't the things that were going to make me happy, of course. And what my true motivation was to show my worth to people, because I had a very poor image of myself and didn't see the worth in myself. I went, okay, I need to show my worth, and I'll do that by achieving this, or by, you know, typically what I would do is latch on to certain people and do whatever they needed me to do to, again, show my worth to them. And because it was, you know, a need that I wasn't fulfilling within myself, it didn't matter what happened in the external world. It didn't matter what I achieved. It didn't matter what other people thought of me, because it's what I thought of me. And so really doing a lot of work to get down there. And, you know, I tell people all the time, it was tough. Like, it was extremely tough, and there's nothing easy about it. And it's slow, and you take steps back. It's two steps forward, one step back. But honestly, like, life-changing work and really going to that place with yourself is extremely difficult, but, you know, can change so much for yourself.
Yeah, just everything you were saying there. So could you just, you touched on, well, you basically spoke about inner work and shadow work. Could you explain mm-hmm. what those are, just for the listeners who are unsure? Because there's a lot of people, like you said, you were doing stuff for validation, is basically what it sounded like, and your self-worth was, you know, really low. But a lot of people are doing this in life, but they just don't realize why they do the things that they do. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a form of people pleasing.
Yeah.
And people, you would tell someone, oh, what are you a people pleaser? And they would laugh at you and be like, no, well, I'm not a people pleaser. What are you talking about? But there's so many different forms of people pleasing that people don't even realize. Mm-hmm. And it's usually ingrained with us from childhood. It's like built in. So could you just explain to the listeners and viewers what is childhood, your inner child, childhood trauma, mm-hmm. and yeah. what is shadow work?
For sure. And, you know, I don't necessarily claim to be an expert, but I can definitely speak to my my experiences on it. You know, for me, a lot of the inner child wounding led to essentially decisions that I made about myself that I then took as truths. And so it was, you know, events or experiences when I was a child that then made 9-year-old Jared decide this about himself, that, oh, I'm not likable, or, oh, like, I'm not worthy of love was a big one for me, right? And because I'd made those decisions so young and they'd been in there so long, they had now become truths in my mind. So I'm unwinding a lot of those for myself. So for me, in my understanding of the inner child work is essentially, you know, one of the accounts that really helped me was the holistic psychologist. And she talks a lot about, you know, parenting yourself and going back and parenting yourself. And, you know, as things that I had talked to my therapist about as well of, you know, I now as an adult, the man Jared needs to go back and parent the young Jared as I wish that I would have been parented. And that's not a slight on my parents by any means. They did the best with what they could, but, you know, going back, looking at those wounds, actually feeling them, and also looking at those experiences as now a man instead of as a boy, of knowing, you know, having a, call it like a 360 view of a lot of the different things that had come up instead of, you know, your views as a child. I don't know if that made sense, but
it does. And the reason why it does is because, look, I've got a long way to go, but it's something that I've been doing. And when you become aware of it, so first of all, self-awareness is important. It's the most important thing. And when you become aware of it and you start dealing with it, you peel that layer off. It's like imagine if you were wearing I don't know if you've ever seen Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He trains with these giant chains around his neck. It's like taking one of those links off every single time you become aware of it, then you deal with it and you just start to become more comfortable with yourself and more free. So what do you think for you was the hardest thing to overcome?
You know, before I go into that, I'll just jump into shadow work really quickly to talk about that.
Oh yeah, sure.
You know, shadow work is essentially shining light on the areas of yourself that you feel ashamed of or that you're afraid of, or, you know, have any sort of those kind of feelings around. And a big one for me was actually expressing anger, because in my household growing up, it was either a 0 or a 10 out of 10 fight. There was no in between. So, you know, essentially what I had told myself about that is that if I get angry, I need to go to a 10 out of 10. There is no middle ground. There's no, you know, slightly annoyed. There's no difficult conversation. It's automatic shouting at everybody. And because of that, I was afraid to go there, which kind of, you know, with you asking me, one of the things that I struggled with the most was what I had touched on before of unwinding those truths that I had been telling myself my entire life, unwinding those, determining what are my actual thoughts, what are actually true, as opposed to what are, you know, stories that I've told myself about myself. And that took a lot of work, and it took a lot of people to point out things to me as well. And, you know, that was, you know, you talked about your environment, which is huge, of having those people around you. And the men's group was amazing for that, where, you know, it was a space with a bunch of men that I completely trusted and I knew they didn't have any ulterior motives. And because they had all been strangers before this, essentially, you know, there wasn't that baggage either. They're kind of able to see me with fresh eyes. There wasn't, you know, the 10 years, the 20 years of, you know, either your best friend or your family or whatever it might be. And they were able to show me different perspectives, and having people from, all different walks of lives and so much diversity in there and so many different experiences, you know, seeing their angles and, you know, their perspectives on everything was huge. And not all of them were right necessarily. I didn't, you know, accept all of them, but even just seeing them, it allowed me to get closer to those truths for myself.
Yeah. Nice. So there's actually a documentary that I watched about 2 weeks ago on Netflix. It's called Stunts, S-T-U-N-T-Z. And it's actually filmed by Jonah Hill. Do you know Jonah Hill?
Yes.
Very funny guy. But this is like a serious documentary, and it's him and his therapist. And I think his therapist has Alzheimer's. He has some condition, basically. And it's a really good documentary. And his therapist basically takes Jonah through the process of shadow work. And he basically tells him to close his eyes and envision a part of you in your life that you feel ashamed of. Then he basically says, ask him, how does he feel about you hiding him away for so long?
Yeah.
And then he basically asks him, what can you do now to make it right?
Yeah.
And what that basically does is make you look inward at, you know, that part of you that you're ashamed of, that you've been hiding for so long. And then the second question allows you to bring it out and just be confident and be happy and just accept it as a part of who you are. So I advise people to go watch that document. I mean, I loved it. It was really cool. And there's a bit of humor in it as well, because obviously, you know, Jonah's in it. So that's great. So yeah, answer the question. What do you think was the most challenging or the hardest thing for you?
Again, I think it was unraveling all of that for myself, and I held a lot of shame, actually. And, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up. And that was one thing that I had to explore a lot of, why hold shame around different things. What are the things that I hold shame around? And, you know, I realized for myself that the thing that I wanted the most in the world was also the thing that scared me the most in the world. And that was to be seen, to have the spotlight, you know, quote unquote, on me. And that's not in a sense of, you know, like wanting to be, you know, famous or anything like that, but it was to be seen for who I am. And that actually led me to starting my podcast. And I'm a very extreme person where I have to go, I'm always all in or all out. And so I decided to have these conversations in public and put them out on the internet for anybody to find. And, you know, even though, you know, I'm like, oh, I don't know if anybody will even watch them, the fact of putting them out there, of them being out for anybody to find, was extremely scary. And I really pushed myself to talk publicly about the things that I held shame around. And that was so freeing, but so difficult. And, you know, tackling things of like being bullied as a child, or, you know, things like having body image issues as a man, you know, something that you don't really hear. For me, it was a story that I told myself that I was the only one that struggled with this in the entire world, right? And even having those types of conversations, again, in public, and knowing that people will see them, will hear them, and being as humanly vulnerable as possible, that was very difficult, but very, very freeing at the same time.
Yeah. So with regards to the whole man thing, you know, men have always been stereotypically, they need to be butch, they need to be buff. And this creates like a stereotypical ego around this whole, it all basically comes down to ego. And with regards to you creating the podcast, I'm kind of like you, I'm sort of all in or all out as well. I'm learning that about myself. And I'm like, okay, you don't actually have to be all in and all out all the time. But I created this podcast for the same reason. It was for business development, to learn and grow, and then to give back to other people. And now this journey has taken me from, still will continue to be business development, but also onto personal growth and development, you know, self-love, compassion, all of that stuff. So I know exactly how you feel when you say, like, you know, you started this podcast and then you were like, what are people going to think? Like, you know, but what really stuck with me, and the reason why I still do this, is because it's not about me. It's about serving others. So like my business partner, for example, and guests like you and everyone we learn from, I get to learn and that's great. But the for me, what's important is whoever watches this, they get to learn. Do you know what I mean? So that's pretty much why I do it. And when you do something from a place like that, your ego goes out the window because it's not about you anymore. Yeah. So that's what really pushed me to do this. So I admire you for doing the podcast and everything. And it's a pity that it's not still going. But if you do want to watch past episodes of Journey with Jared, please go check them out. I'm sure, it would be great for you. So what are you most thankful for then, Jared, for this whole journey?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of going back to that too, the way that I thought about, my podcast was balancing the selfish with the selfless, which sounds, very similar to what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And I always went back to, even if I help one person with this, then it makes it all worth it.
I'm exactly the same, man.
And not officially done, just little pause on the podcast. So what am I most thankful for? I go back to a lot of it. Is very tough. It used to be very tough for me to talk even like this, but I'm thankful for having the courage to step into these dark and difficult things and to go on this journey of really being proud of myself for being able to do that and for sharing it with people and for committing to it. Because, and it's something that I tell people all the time is that you can't force anybody to change. They have to make the decision for themselves.
So true.
You can help them, you can support them, but at the end of the day, that person needs to make that decision for themselves. And so having that courage to make that decision to follow through. And of course I've had my steps back, but I'm really happy with where it has gotten me in my life.
Yeah. So with regards to people having to change themselves, this is something, a lesson that I learned. I consider myself compassionate, and with past relationships in the past, I care about my friends, people, people I care about who are important to me in my life. People also talk about attachment in this sort of space, when you're attached to things, and there's a lot of talk. I've seen a lot of YouTube videos on like how to detach from all these different things. And I think a part of me, which again, I've learned, is a part of me wants to kind of be a savior for this person. You can see someone going through pain inside. You can see they're suffering. And that part of me wants to be a hero and a savior. So that part of me is attaching myself to that person and not being able to let go. But ultimately, just what you said, they are the ones who have to make the change, and they have to decide to make the change, and they have to commit to make that change. And it's not easy. And that's why nobody wants to do it, because nobody wants to go that far in and deal with that pain. So it's very admirable that you do that. And to all other guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen who have the courage to do this, we admire you and keep up the good work. So the last question that I'll end on then is, what advice would you give to anyone going through this journey, or someone who maybe wants to start this journey, who's in a bit of pain or, feeling insecure, or is just dealing with any sort of, inner child, shadow work, any sort of, or wants to get on the personal growth journey?
Yeah. I mean, for me, a big one was self-compassion, was learning how to tell myself that it's okay. And that nobody is ever perfect. And especially going through these type of, this type of journey, nobody's going to be perfect. You're going to fall down. You're going to fall flat on your face. You're going to get bloodied, and it's okay. It's okay that you're not perfect. It's okay that it's taking longer than you were expecting. And just, being kind to yourself throughout the entire journey, holding yourself accountable, but being kind to yourself at the same time.
Awesome. Great. Awesome, Jared. Thank you very much. So again, go and check out Jared's podcast. Is there anywhere else that people can find you if they want to follow you, check out what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm basically on all the socials. So Instagram, Twitter, just my name, @JaredSalikin. The podcast is anywhere that you get your podcasts. I upload the videos to YouTube as well. Yeah. And you can kind of, once you're on those profiles, you can kind of find everything else I'm up to.
Fantastic. So what I'll do is I'll actually get those links from you and I'll put them down below in the video on YouTube and on Spotify. And awesome. Also, if you feel like you are struggling with any of these things, like, feeling insecure, maybe you don't have purpose in life, I've actually created a program, the Thinkernik Lifestyle Program. So check that out as well. It's completely free, and I'll link that down below as well. So Jared, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate you getting up. Well, I guess it's quite early in Canada. Hopefully this won't be the last podcast we do. And yeah, super thankful and appreciative that you came on the show.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
For more news and content about Thinkernik, go to www.thinkernik.com or visit our Facebook or Instagram pages at Thinkernik.